hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's begin in Southport, England, where the Open Championship, the oldest of professional golf's four major events, teed off for a 146th time on Thursday. The action is taking place at the Royal Birkdale Golf Club, which is hosting the Open for a 10th time. Ahead of the tournament, defending champion Henrik Stenson of Sweden handed back the prize claret jug awarded to the winner. He talks about the emotion of returning the trophy.
It's a little bittersweet in the sense that it's almost become part of the family. But at the same time, I feel like I'm ready to kind of hand over and turn the page again. So I can start looking forward and trying to win it back in the future. Seeing the joy on every keen golfer's face when they get to hold the claret jug and get to see it in person. And the overwhelming support that I felt in Sweden and throughout the golf world of that fantastic victory last year. So it's truly special. It was a dream come true, and I've enjoyed every moment of it.
Swedish golfer Henrik Stenson shot a 1-under par 69 on Thursday at Royal Birkdale, putting him a few shots off the first round lead. Meanwhile, Nigeria's top female golfer is teaching young girls the game and hoping more African women can participate in the sport. Reporter Chika Adua tells us more from Abuja, Nigeria.
Nigeria's premier female golfer, Uloma Mbuko, has won more than 200 trophies as a Class A international player. She's been described as the queen of golf, and now she's passing on the crown, training the next crop of female golfers in Nigeria. About 30 youngsters practice their swing on a golf course on a Saturday morning. The students are as young as 3 and as old as 16. For nearly a year, they've come out every Saturday to learn the rules of golf. They practice under the watchful eye of Uloma Mbuko. She's the lead instructor of this training program for beginners. She's been called Africa's Queen of Golf. After 17 years, she's risen to a level in sports that few women in Nigeria ever reach.
We all know Nigeria is more of a man's country. Ladies being treated as if we don't exist, but we do exist. The idea is women should end up in the kitchen.
But Mbuko ended up in sports. Even at a young age, she showed ambition, says Chinyere Mbuko, the golf star's younger sister.
She has always been a sports lady, yeah. She started with football, a little bit football, then handball. So when she said she was starting, you know, playing golf, I was like, serious.
Getting into golf wasn't easy. First of all, there's the cost. In Nigeria, golf is nearly exclusively reserved for rich men. Mbuko grew up in a working-class family.
We all know that golf is expensive, even though we try to shy away from it, but it is expensive. Now, to be a member of a golf club in Nigeria, definitely you're talking about nothing less than 500,000.
500,000 naira is about $1,600. And that's just the membership fee. A golfer has to pay to use the practice facilities at the club, pay for training, pay for a caddy, the golf clothes, and the equipment.
How many young ladies in Nigeria will be able to afford that?
Mbuko was lucky enough to find sponsors for her training. Another challenge she faced was the lack of a professional group for female golfers in Nigeria. So women who want to become professionals have to join associations outside the country. Mbuko solved that problem last year by creating the Ladies Professional Golfers Association of Nigeria. And now she is training a crop of Nigerian women to reach the same success that she has.
I'm concentrating on bringing so many ladies on board. I don't want to be there alone.
Every morning, Mbuko sets off for the golf course to meet her girls. When she arrives, they're already practicing. Mbuko instructs her students to stand in a swing barrel, a metallic circle that goes around the body. The golfer runs the club across it. It helps the golfer to learn the proper hip rotation to get a perfect swing. Obiageli Ayodele is working with it this morning.
Wow, it's fantastic. The few days that I took lesson from her, I found that my game changed automatically.
Ayodele, who is 29, practices 5 days a week. She's one of the few female players whose husband supports her athletic goals.
In our country, Nigeria, they find it difficult for the ladies to get into sport because of their husbands. I mean, the ones that are married. They don't want their wife to be out there. They don't want them to be in the midst of other men. They feel they will not properly take care of their home.
Mbuko wants all of her students to become pros.
Yes, we are ladies. Yes, we are African. But we have what it is. We have the talent. And I believe mentoring them, guiding them, and helping, pushing them up, they should be able to do far, far better than me.
But given her legacy of wins, that could be a challenge for her students. Chika Odua in Abuja, Nigeria, for VOA News.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The United States defeated El Salvador Wednesday night 2-0 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to advance to the semifinals at the CONCACAF Gold Cup football tournament. Defenders Omar Gonzalez and Eric Lehi scored first-half goals for the Americans, five-time champions of this Gold Cup regional tournament, for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. Gonzalez knocked in a header off a free kick from USA captain Michael Bradley. Hey, Omar, tell us about your third international goal.
I made a near post run, and Michael put in a great ball, and I was able to stay up there for quite a while and just get the slightest flick on, and that's all I really needed. It threw the keeper off and went right past him.
Omar Gonzalez and the Americans now travel to Texas, where they'll play Costa Rica on Saturday near Dallas. The Costa Ricans defeated Panama 1-0 on Wednesday night in Philadelphia. In Thursday night's quarterfinal action, Canada will face Jamaica, and defending Gold Cup champion Mexico will meet Honduras. Both matches will be played near the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona. It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta. Good evening, Nnamdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor recently wrapped up a four-city promotional tour ahead of their August 26th fight in Las Vegas, Nnamdi. They went to Los Angeles, Toronto, New York, and London. Did that tour live up to the hype?
Yes, Sonny, the tour lived up to the hype and above the hype, Sonny, because right here in my backyard at Staples Center in Los Angeles, we looked at 12,000 people showed up. And not only 12,000 people, it was all over the news. It was on the evening news, the afternoon news, the morning news. It was blanket all over the newspapers. So it really lived up to the hype. Then after Los Angeles, they went to Toronto, Canada. Toronto was 17,000 people, Sunny. After Toronto, it was the Barclays Arena in Brooklyn. That was 12,000 people. Then you throw in the people at the SSE Arena at the Wembley Stadium, another 15,000. We're looking at 50,000 plus people showing up for just a press conference, Sonny.
In terms of those press conferences, Namdi, it seemed like McGregor had the majority of the fans. Your thoughts?
Well, don't forget, Sonny, a majority of the fans that came out for this press stops were all MMA fans. Not many boxing fans showed up for this press conference because they didn't really care for it. Don't forget, Sonny, these two cats are show boys because they know how to trash talk. They know how to hype things up. They are what we call show boys.
Show boys. On that note, Namdi, was this tour orchestrated, staged?
Well, Sonny, also remember this press conference was streamed online live on these four stops. And the way both guys were moving on stage, because when we do boxing press conference, you have security guards stopping the other side from going the other way. When you look closely at this press conference between Mayweather and Conor McGregor, both guys were walking around each other, McGregor touching Mayweather on the head, getting close to him. You know, so when you look at closely, it was looked like it was staged.
Namdi, in terms of that tour being staged, some photos of Mayweather and McGregor on a private jet together where they didn't seem upset with each other at all.
Suddenly they were breaking bread. New York City to London, that's a 7-hour flight. And the way they were on that plane, don't tell me for that 7 hours they didn't break bread. They didn't plan for the next stop in Wembley Stadium, you know. By the way, these guys are bangers, honey.
Namdi, there was lots of questionable language at those press conferences, but the two fighters did take some quiet time to reflect on their fight on August 26th. First, we'll hear from Mayweather, and then we'll hear from McGregor.
Anything can happen in the sport of boxing. Just in combat sports, period, anything can happen. One shot, it can all be over. So I cannot overlook Conor McGregor. I'm pretty sure he's anxious. And me, myself, I'm just waiting day after day, going to the gym working. I'm not fast as I used to be. I'm not throwing combinations like I used to throw. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Absolutely, I'm enjoying every second of it. That's why I was like, right, you know what? Don't tell me nothing. I don't need to know nothing. Don't need no speech. Everyone had these pages and all written out, and I was like, looking around. And I'm just rolling out here with me company on the poster. You know what I mean? Life is good for me. I'm very, very happy, very grateful, and very motivated.
Namdi, we heard McGregor say he's very grateful and very motivated. Very grateful, I think, about that payday he has coming.
If you're making $100 million payday, you better be grateful. You better be on your knees thanking your God, you know. Yeah, you better be grateful because he's going to the bank big time. This cat has never made more than $5 million. Everybody's talking about this fight, and everybody believes that it's going to be an exciting and entertaining fight. Yes, and majority of this thing, orchestrating this fight and making this fight happen, you have to credit Conor McGregor, Sonny, because if he did not really hype things or go after Floyd Mayweather, there would be no need for us to look at this fight at all. So mega props to Conor McGregor for really, really hyping up the fight.
This will be Conor McGregor's first professional fight, and there are reports that he was knocked out in sparring. Your reaction, Namdi?
When the boxers spar in camp, they use what we call a 20-ounce glove. And with a 20-ounce glove comes the headgear. So imagine being knocked out with a 20-ounce glove and a headgear, and fight night, Floyd Mayweather will be in there with you on 8-ounce gloves and no headgear. You go make the calculation on what's going to happen, you know. You may be in deep sea. When you get knocked out with a 20-ounce glove in the gym, with the headgear, and then in the real fight, the man goes in there with 8-ounce glove and no headgear, you're definitely going to be bombed, you know, Sonny. But he denied it. They denied that that didn't happen. And according to Floyd Mayweather, I don't see no video. I have not seen nothing, so I don't believe it.
1 week before Mayweather-McGregor, on August 19th, Terrence Crawford of the USA will take on Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo in a world junior welterweight unification fight. 4 title belts on the line. How has Mayweather-McGregor affected Crawford Ndongo?
Oh, Sonny, it has been really bad for this fight. We have a historical fight here where we have 4 belts on the line. It's rare in boxing for these fights to come together like this. And these guys cannot even get any mention in the fight media because Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor is taking over all the page and nobody's talking about Ndongo Crawford. Ndongo is a man from the land of the brave, Sonny. Believe it, he fears no man. He's been to Russia. He's been to Scotland where he was crowned the new king of Scotland. And I believe Lincoln, Nebraska, he stands a chance of pulling an upset. It's too bad that the boxing fans don't get to know who this cat is. Most boxing fans don't even know where Namibia is. They talk about Windhoek, you know. They come to me and say, Namdi, you're African. You know, where's this guy? I never heard of this guy. Where's this guy from? Come on, dude. Go back to your geography teacher and then he will get you through and point out where Namibia is on the map of Africa.
Thanks, Namdi. I can find Namibia on the map of Africa, and I want our Voice of America listeners to know it's a young country that gained independence from South Africa in 1990. Namdi mentioned how Julius the Blue Machine Ndongo is from the land of the brave. In fact, the country's national anthem is titled Namibia, Land of the Brave. Namibia, land of the brave. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
I liked how you described that. A majestic national anthem.
It is very majestic. It felt, if I were from Namibia, I'd be very patriotic and feel very good about that.
I hope we have a few Namibians listening tonight. What's trending out there, Andrew?
Well, all eyes right now are on the U.S. state of Nevada. That's where O.J. Simpson is set to have a parole hearing to see if he'll get out of prison. O.J. Simpson, of course, great National Football League player, great college football player at the University of Southern California, very well-known running back in the 1970s, and then became kind of a celebrity in his own right. He appeared in some movies, did some acting gigs, and in 1995 was acquitted after being accused of murdering his ex-wife and her friend in what many dubbed the trial of the century. It was one of these media events, and then acquitted of that, which was a decision that sparked a lot of conversation. And then in 2008 was convicted of robbery and kidnapping and sentenced to prison, where he's been since then. So this hearing today in the state of Nevada is going to determine whether he will get out of prison after serving those 9 years. Hashtag OJ Simpson parole is trending on social media. Fans hotly debating whether or not he should be released. And really, it's a conversation about this man that has gone on since that trial in 1995. Lots of media attention. Someone that we've been talking about in one form or another for the past, really, almost 25 years, just because of his legal activities. And that's not even to look at his football activities, which already made him a star almost 50 years ago. So someone that is very well known in the sports world, very well known in the United States. And so lots of activity on that today, live streaming this parole hearing, networks covering it live, and lots of chatter on social media.
Andrew, I understand a giant from the Democratic Republic of Congo who received some of his education right here in Washington is trending.
Yes, potential new buyer for the Houston Rockets. Of course, Houston Rockets owner Leslie Alexander put the team up for sale. He's owned it for the past 24 years. And someone, big man, has expressed interest in purchasing the team, and that is Dikembe Mutombo. The Hall of Fame center from Congo has spent the last 5 years of his NBA career with the Houston Rockets, and now he wants to rejoin the team, but as the owner. So lots of excitement and chatter about that. Mutombo said that he missed his chance a few years ago to buy the Atlanta Hawks, another team that he played for, and he says he does not want to miss this chance. Now, he's putting together an ownership group to try to make this purchase because, while he's a very, I'm sure, wealthy man, he's done quite well for himself, I don't think he could foot the bill on his own. When Leslie Alexander bought the Houston Rockets 24 years ago, he paid $85 million. According to some estimates, the team today is worth over $1.6 billion. Big return on investment over those 24 years. So we'll see who Dikembe Mutombo can put together to get those people together, get the money in place to purchase this team. Lots of jokes about Mutombo if he does own the team. Talking to players who want to ask for more money and then just wagging his finger in their face and saying, no, not going to get any more money from the ownership. So lots of jokes about that, but it would be really fascinating. And it's part of a trend we've seen recently, a lot more athletes going ahead and buying teams or taking stakes in teams as part of ownership groups rather than business titans or people who just have a lot of money.
Andrew, I'm wondering now if Mutombo will reach out to another African giant, Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, who led the Rockets to back-to-back NBA championships. Akeem the Dream has done very well as a businessman in the Houston area. Maybe he'll want to have a piece of that action.
Yeah, he might be getting a phone call from Dikembe there. And that's the funny thing, too. A lot of fans on social media, it's almost, as we have with the current NBA players, they kind of trade them around, say, oh, this would be my dream team with this player, LeBron and Steph Curry and whoever. It's almost like the dream team for the ownership group. It's, okay, we got Dikembe, we got Hakeem Dream, all these players that we're trying to get together to make this ownership happen. So we'll see if it actually does. It'd be great if it does.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, Serena Williams is out of tennis, as we well know, expecting her first child later on this year. But while she may seem like an immortal on the tennis court, she is a mere mortal being when it comes to having a child. And case in point, she tweeted out the other day, "Any tips on how to turn over at night? I'm having trouble from going from my left to my right to my left side." Of course, with the pregnancy, you've got that big belly. It's hard to move around. So fans coming to her aid, trying to offer their advice on social media. Some funny quips that they've offered. One fan said, "Just pretend like you're swinging a backhand and use that momentum to turn yourself over." Fans also very gratified that she's dealing with the same pregnancy issues that they've dealt with. So they said even the champions of the world have to deal with the things that everybody has to deal with, the day-to-day stuff. And one person saying, "You'll figure it out and do it better than anybody else, just like you always have." So true champion there as she is preparing to expect her first child. We'll see if she updates us on social media, if she's found a way to work around it. But I'm sure more updates on social media from Serena in the next couple months as she progresses.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And that wraps up the July 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Zubair. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The spread of violent extremism and terrorism pose significant challenges to Africa's security, long-term development goals, and democratic gains, said U.S. Ambassador to the African Union, Mary Beth Leonard. These threats to the global community, she warned, can only be addressed with a global response. Ambassador Leonard's remarks were made at a workshop earlier this month, co-hosted by the U.S. Mission to the African Union and the AU Commission on Preventing and Countering Violent Extremism. The workshop highlighted the use of public diplomacy resources, such as exchanges and tech camps, as successful examples of coordination to build security expertise within the AU, furthering the mission objective and advancing peace and security. The workshop supported the AU's 2002 Plan of Action for the Prevention and Combating of Terrorism, identified areas of potential collaboration, and charted a way for future engagement. On this continent, as elsewhere, a comprehensive approach where Africans are empowered to lead and devise their own solutions to address the drivers of violent extremism is critical to not only advancing the United States' foreign policy goals, but to realizing the aims of Agenda 2063, an African continent that is peaceful and prosperous. The United States stands as your steadfast partner in achieving these goals, said Ambassador Leonard. With almost 70% of Africans under 25 years of age, Ambassador Leonard noted, it is important that all stakeholders see youth as partners for peace rather than as the cause of conflict. Additionally, when women are included in peace and security efforts, in peacekeeping missions, peace negotiations, and political decision-making, communities are safer. I know from experience that the security challenges in Africa are formidable. But by marshaling our values, our partnerships, and our resources, I'm confident that together we can overcome them, she said. And I would like to end by reiterating that the United States remains a steadfast partner for Africa and continues to stand by the AU in its bold vision for sustainable peace and prosperity.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I am James Butte, host of Daybreak Africa. Join me every weekday mornings at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports.
My name is Edward Ameyigo. I listen to Daybreak Africa to be abreast with developments on the continent. I encourage you to do the same.
You can also be a part of the show through our listeners' mail segment. Just send your views to daybreakafrica@voanews.com or call us on 202-205-9942. That's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
escape from the humdrum and dance to the beat of an African drum. Hi, I am David Van, host of the Voice of America's African Beat. Splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. Join me Monday through Friday at 0900 and 2000 UTC for a soothing musical journey. I guarantee.